Welcome everyone to this week's weekly market update, December 4th, about an hour prior to the equity market close with myself and Carl. How are you?
I'm doing just well today, Scott. Yourself?
I am doing well. It's been 2 weeks since we've done a podcast, but we wanted to catch up for what we have seen over the last 5 trading days. So we have an S&P up 0.5%, NASDAQ up 1%, a Dow up 0.75%, Russell, which we'll talk about in a little more detail, up almost 2%, gold flat, and that's been a hot topic as of recently. And the 10-year, which we're going to go into that as well, but the 10-year yield actually up 2.5%, which is a bit conflicting in terms of what we anticipate out of the Fed, which would be a good segue into Carl's corner.
As we are continuing to get more and more data over the past month, remember with the government shutdown, we did not have updated data through October and most of November. So now that December is coming through, we're starting to get the more accurate, more updated data, including tomorrow, which is the big one. PCE comes out tomorrow. We are going to be very diligent and vigilant about looking at those numbers as they come through. The projection is fairly low, so that's good. We're going to hope they stay low. Right now, unemployment claims are low, so that's helping the probabilities as well. And if you look at the probabilities, as we've been talking about, we were saying maybe we could skip December. If they do it, it's okay. It won't hurt anything. If they skip it, it won't hurt that much either because there are so many good things that happen during the month of December when it comes to the market in itself. But right now, the probability is 87% of a 25 basis point rate cut. So that's fantastic. And as you can see in the market, it's slowly starting to price that in. Have you seen the volatility, especially over the last week and a half, with it shifting from 50% to 87% in the probability metrics? You see that in the volatility as well.
And really this goes back to what we've talked about time and time again. Yes, the action out of the Fed is important. The press conference afterwards is more important. And then the Fed speak the weeks following the Fed announcement is the most important. And so if you think about it, we went from in the last 30 days, we went from a 90% probability of a rate cut down to a 30%, and that was purely based off of rhetoric, back up to now 87% to your point. And so I do think that they will end up cutting because of the probabilities, and we're only, basically less than a week out. But December is always a surprise when it comes to the Fed.
Absolutely. And we had the detractors over the last two Fed meetings. Some want to keep it the way it is. Others want to do two or three of the basis point cuts, so 50 basis points or even higher. And you could see that split happening in the Fed meetings. And so we're going to get a very good look in December about what kind of detractors they're going to be, who wants to go harder down. And then that's going to really filter into the three or four meetings we have before the decision on Powell comes through.
And I'm going to go ahead and make the prediction that whoever is the largest detractor will be the new Fed chair come May.
That's a pretty good prediction, especially because the Fed chairman is presidentially appointed. And so he who is in line with the president's views more than likely is going to get that position. Now, you also brought up the 10 years, so let's go ahead and dive into that a little bit. What we're seeing actually over the past week for mortgage rates, which are heavily correlated with the 10 year, well, mortgage rates actually have been down, Scott. Believe it or not, mortgage rates have come down a little bit, even though the 10 year has gone up. Now, with that, I believe the mortgage rates will probably go back up over the next week or two, but we're still waiting on it to break down four and go down. Now, it broke four on its way down a couple months ago, but it did not go all the way. It didn't continue that trend. News came out and there was another auction and it shot back up over four. So the good news about that is you're seeing that in the fixed income instruments, that we have access to when it comes to either CDs, longer term T-bills are still very attractive, as well as long-term annuities.
Yeah, and the bond auctions have been pretty bizarre this year, and that's why you're seeing that fluctuation that translates over into the mortgage prices. But it also translates, it actually almost probably originates from the fixed income space, I think. And so we're seeing this kind of back and forth, which is why I think this December meet next Wednesday could, even though the probability is 87%, it could go either way because we're seeing this disparity between 10-year yields and mortgage prices and rhetoric out of the Fed. So it'll be interesting. What it will absolutely translate to, though, is volatility, I would think. And, with PCE coming out tomorrow, that'll be a big indication as to what the Fed is going to do. And it'll all be a kind of a trickle effect, in my opinion, going into the end of the year. But I do still think that, and I don't have the stat in front of me, but Carl, you and I talked about a particular stat that showed the average into the end of the year for the S&P is another three, basically 3.3%. So that would be a very strong close, I think, for 2025. And it'll kick off what we believe to be an extremely strong 2026. And I just want to throw a couple of stats out here. So this goes back to June. June produced a lot of very interesting statistics. But here's one to keep in mind. I'm going to give you three, actually. The first one being when you have in a 2-month stretch an S&P that gains more than 20%. Now, let me qualify that by saying the S&P was down 19% at that point, right? So it just rallied back the 19% plus one. Five times that has happened: 1975, 1982, 1998, 2009, and 2020. All of which the average gain over the next year was 31%. That's pretty impressive. And if you overlay that with the fact that when the S&P was down 19%, right, which qualifies it as a near bear market, right, because a bear market would typically be 20% or more. So in a near bear market, that's happened six times. The following year averaged 32.9%. Okay. And then if we look at the last cycle, rate cut cycle that we were in, which was 2019, the gain for the S&P was 32.1%. So you have very uncorrelated statistics there that converge essentially at the exact same return.
It really is absolutely fascinating. And as listeners and our clients know, we are very statistically driven. And the best part about what you're saying is the technicals also back it up, right?
They
So
do. That's right.
when we're looking at the charts and the cash flows and everything that we do when we go through our investment reviews, everything is stacking up to equal something that's going to be a good year next year. Now, am I or are we saying that it's going to be 30% return next year? Probably not. 30% returns, if you look at a bell curve or on the very far right of the bell curve, they happen, once in a decade, once every 2 decades, not very often. Now, if you're saying, can it go another 20 to 25%? Absolutely. I absolutely see that on the ability for next year. There's so many things that are happening. There's so much good cash flow for especially all the heavily weighted companies. And we're really starting to push the limits when it comes to the technology side of it. That there's not a doubt in my mind that we could easily see another 20 to 25% next year. Now, the important thing that you and I have really been looking into is making sure that our portfolios are going to be able to take advantage of that as much as we can.
Yes, and we have and we have restructured portfolios throughout the last 6 months basically to be in interest rate sensitive sectors, right? And also though have growth without taking on excess risk. And so I'm very pleased with the construction and what that's going to look like next year for the markets, equity markets and treasury markets for that matter. That we're anticipating. Now, I agree with you. We probably won't see 30. Those are just the statistics. But I can easily see 15 to 20. And remember, that's what we said in January of this year and reiterated that even when the S&P was down 19%. So that's crazy to think about. S&P was down 19% at one point this year. And look where we are. That's statistics. But I will go back to 2019. What was very important about that was not only the interest rate cuts, but it was also very seasonally based. It stuck to the seasonal trends, the almanac, if you will. And that tells you that you have an orderly market, right? So I will say that you're going to hear all throughout next year that the market is overextended. It can't continue. All the talking heads will be saying that. And then they will look back and the S&P will have finished somewhere around 7,800. That's my prediction.
And JP Morgan has come out and said around 8,000. There's a couple big banks that are between 7,800 and 8,000 next year, which is right in line with what we're discussing. Because if we hit 7,000 and then 7,700 would be 10%, right? So just going above that, getting towards 8 is right in that 15, to 20 range. And now it's nice seeing that what we are seeing and the calculations that we have made are also being backed by the bigger corporations and the bigger banks. And that is fantastic to see. Another thing I want to make sure everyone knows is just like this year, next year there will be at some point in time some sort of contraction in the market, as there always is a correction that'll happen. Everyone be aware, we're going to be looking at it. We're going to make sure that everything is still in line and that the year goes the way we plan it. But remember, the market will ebb, the market will flow. But if we're looking at it, hit the magnifying glass out on the chart, as long as we still see the projections being left or right, everything will be okay.
Yeah, well, and to that point, what I'll add is this year was very clear that, and we talked about it last November, why we were raising the cash position, right? That had to do with the every 2.5 year cycle, and it came to fruition. To your point about 2026, yes, there will be some drawdowns throughout the year, but I don't anticipate 2026 being a year where any sort of hedging needs to be placed. In fact, if you look at JP Morgan's book, they have no hedges until December, which is right at 8,000.
Absolutely fascinating to see. And I don't think we've ever talked about the JP Morgan book thing, but that is something that we look at as well when we make our predictions going into the future, going especially within the next 6 to 12 months.
Absolutely. For that, I think that's all I have. Do you have anything else? I know we wanted to go into a deep dive on our outlook for next year. That could change. Next Wednesday is a big day. Tomorrow is a big day, but next Wednesday is an even bigger day. So that could change, but as of now, that's what we really wanted to do a deep dive into.
Yeah, I have really nothing else on the agenda. Just a reminder, tomorrow we're going to be seeing a lot of volatility. There's two major things, PCE as well as consumer sentiment. Both of them have very strong ability to move the market, especially intraday. So be aware of that. But also we're looking at the probabilities tomorrow going to shift either to the upside or downside depending on PCE. So 87% today. We'll see exactly what it is going to be tomorrow. And I guess we won't have another podcast until after the meeting, but that's everything that we had this week. If you think anyone might enjoy our market commentary, feel free to forward us on over to them. We're also on the iHeartRadio app and the Podbean radio app.
Perfect. Thank you. And with that, we're going to go ahead and wish everyone a happy upcoming Friday and weekend. And we're going to go ahead and look forward to doing the post-Fed pod next week.